Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful category of faithful men and women that remind us that we're not alone, that others have run before us, others have persevered, others have remained faithful even to death. And of course, the greatest example of that is the Lord Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that this chapter will encourage us, that if we are feeling tired, if we are wanting to cut out of the race, that this will encourage us to keep our eyes, our hearts, our minds focused on Jesus and to keep running for him and for his glory. And we ask it in his name. Amen. What is faith? Most people believe that faith is for people who refuse to embrace reality and truth. Some people, even Christians, define faith as believing what you want to believe, yet cannot prove. This means being able to believe in anything you want to believe. No explanation is required. It's just a matter of faith. When we hear someone say it's just a matter of faith, they're saying that it's personal, it's private, it's about something inside of you. It's got nothing to do with anything outside of you. So in some people's thinking, embracing faith means you stop thinking. As faith increases, reason and intelligence walks out the door. Thus living by faith, for some people, means you must be living in the dark. Richard Dawkins would agree. He said, faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Faith is belief, in spite of, even perhaps because of, the lack of evidence. And Mark Twain said that faith is believing what you know ain't so. Once a mother came to visit me with her son. She was very worried, very concerned about her son, because he had stopped believing. He had stopped believing in Jesus and in Santa Claus. What is faith if you can believe in Jesus and you can believe in Santa Claus? Faith seems to be more about us and how it makes us feel than about God and who he is and what he's done in the world through Jesus Christ. Biblical faith is not wishful thinking. It's not about believing in things that don't exist. Biblical faith is the foundation of living a life in light of the truth that God exists, God acts, and God speaks. So what is faith? Well, the writer of the Hebrew doesn't give us an exhaustive definition of faith, but a description of what faith is, particularly in verses 1 to 3. The writer has been stressing the importance of faith throughout the letter. He's encouraged us not to give up on our faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, he says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Or Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherited what has been promised. Faith is based on the work of Jesus Christ, as he tells us in chapter 10, verse 21 to 22. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. The assurance of faith is based on the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and current intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. Lack of faith has nothing to do with doubts, but with unbelief. The writer has warned us and used the example of the people of Israel in their unbelief, refusing to enter into the land and therefore not entering into God's rest. He mentioned that in chapter 3. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? And how did they disobey? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. But the writer is encouraged by his readers because of their faith, which they displayed in their faithfulness to Jesus, particularly under persecution. And we heard that last week in chapter 10, verse 39, where he said, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And so he begins to expound on this issue of faith in chapter 11. He puts one example after another to encourage us to keep running, to keep persevering in the faith. So what is faith? He tells us. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Notice how faith is described. He uses the words confidence, assurance. It is not that I have faith and that it makes... It is not that I have faith and that makes it true, but that faith in and of itself is the evidence of what is true. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Faith is the assurance about what we do not see. From this we see that faith has a future orientation. Faith is the confidence that the hope that we are looking forward to, the new heaven and the new earth, our better resurrection, is going to happen. Faith is that what we don't see now, these heavenly realities, will one day be visible. So faith looks to the future in this chapter. But it also shapes the life of people in the present, in the light of our future hope. So faith is a kind of knowing that results in action. This description of faith destroys the idea that faith makes what is not real, real, or not true, true. Faith doesn't create divine realities, but divine realities creates faith. In a particular commentary, Costa says of this section, "The unseen realities of God give proof of their existence by their power to evoke faith where otherwise there would only be unbelief." What does that all mean? Let me give you a sentence. It's this. It is that the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, death and resurrection, creates faith. So faith is the confidence and the assurance that the promises that God has given to us will come to pass. Why? Because God cannot lie. His word is trustworthy. It is this faith, the faith that looks beyond the here and now and perseveres in trusting God's word. So acting on the basis of faith, we come to understand that God created the world out of nothing. This is something we didn't see, nor can we prove it, but it is based on God's word. You might say that I'm making a circular argument. The only reason why I believe the Bible is because I believe, have faith, that it is God's word. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that God's word created my faith. And so my faith is now grounded in the Bible as God's word. It is God's word, the gospel, that produces faith. Paul teaches this in Romans. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message and the message each heard through the word about Christ. The Apostle Peter tells us, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." Paul also says that faith is a gift. That's why I believe the writer of the Hebrew is saying that faith is confidence. Or it could also be translated, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is the faith itself that has been given, produced by the gospel. As James also tells us, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. So faith is produced by the gospel. And so faith comes to trust in God's word. And faith acts on God's word, as the writer will show us with the examples of the Old Testament men and women of faith. He does it in verses 4 to 40. Every person mentioned in this chapter does something by faith, because of faith, on the basis of faith. Faith here is never passive acceptance. Faith is risky. Faith is costly. And the people mentioned in this chapter are people that were rejected, marginalized, and killed for their commitment to God's word. We are told that faith made the difference between the sacrifices of Abel and Cain. Enoch pleased God, why? By faith, and therefore didn't taste death. To please God, you must first believe or know that he exists. Otherwise, why would you seek him? Why would you hope in his promises? That's why he says in verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Faith in this chapter is always about the hope that cannot be seen, such as God's reward for those who earnestly seek him. Noah couldn't see the flood, but by faith obeyed God's word. Abraham obeyed God's word. Why? In verse 10 we are told, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham's faith saw beyond his present circumstances, beyond his nomadic lifestyle. He lived in a land that never became his, and so by faith he looked beyond the land to what the land promised, dwelling with God. Again, Abraham's faith had a futuristic focus, which shaped how he lived in the present, but was based on God's word to him. Abraham could have given up by returning to the land that he came from, but he didn't, because he looked forward in hope. And so did everybody else. And their writer summarizes this in verses 13 onwards. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. For he has prepared a city for them. So faith is sure about the future in spite of the presence because of God's word. Faith is based on God's actions in the past, that's in Christ, that enables us now to be certain about the future. Ignoring this reality and this truth means, and I'm rephrasing Dawkins here, the greatest cop-out and the greatest excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate the evidence presented to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So by faith, Isaac blessed his boys in regard to the future. By faith, Joseph told his people to take his bones out of Egypt when God had delivered them and buried them in the promised land. By faith, Moses who was rejected by his own people, obeyed God's word and led Israel out of Egypt. Faith in all these people were never passive. It was risky, it was costly, and it was looking forward to the future, to a reward, to God's promise. Faith called for obedience in a society that laughed at you when you built an ark on a dry land. Faith called for sacrifice and giving up career, family, success to be identified with God's people. Faith calls us to act in stupid ways, like walking around the city so that the walls will fall down. Faith calls us to align ourselves with God's people even against the orders of the state. Faith calls us to suffer, to be persecuted and die because of the hope that we have in Christ. Since all these people came before Christ, they didn't receive the fulfillment of the promise. But with the coming of Christ, we are closer to the fulfillment of that promise. So today, they wait. And so do all the New Testament saints that have gone before us. They wait until all of God's people have been gathered in. The better resurrection will not happen until we all are together. The better country and the heavenly city will not be given until all the saints are together. God could have ended the world after the resurrection of Jesus, but he didn't. Or Jesus could have returned sooner, but he didn't. Why? Because God has planned something better for us, all of us, who have been persevering by faith and living by faith. And the best example of that, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself. In verses 1 to 3 of chapter 12. Here the Christian life is compared to a race in which we must all run, a race which in Christ we all win. But it's a continuous race. One day will be completed when the last runner crosses the finish line. But for the moment, as we run and as we enter the stadium, all around us are those who have run the race before us. There they are waiting for us, seated in the stadium, cheering and encouraging us on. As he tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We look at them, We are encouraged by them. The whole of chapter 11 has been to remind us that there's been people that have gone before us, people who have found it difficult to follow Jesus, people who have suffered for following Jesus, people who have died for following Jesus, that they have persevered, they have run the race, they have finished it. But as we go into the stadium, we not only see these particular people, we see the Apostle Paul there. We see Augustine, we see Luther, we see John Newton, we see people that we know, family members, people that we don't know. All are there encouraging us to keep going. Don't give up. Finish the race. It's worth it. All the people that we read about in Christian biographies are to encourage us to keep running the race. Don't give up. We are encouraged to throw away anything that would stop us from running in this race or slow us down. Any sin that would take us away from Jesus and all that he's done for us. We must keep our faith and our focus on Jesus. He is the great encourager of all. As we enter the stadium and the crowd cheers, as they cheer us on, Jesus Christ is sitting in the royal box, and that is where our focus should be. He is the greatest example of perseverance. As he goes on to say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A runner never looks over his or her shoulder, nor do they look back, because if they do so, they could lose. A runner fixes their sight on the finish line, and Christians fix their sight continuously on Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God, because it is from him that we are enabled to keep running the race. Because it is through him that our faith is perfected and strengthened. And just like the examples of faith that we have just heard about, Jesus also looked forward in faith to the future, his future victory and his future glory. As he says, let us fix, in verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Once while I was doing high school scripture, a young girl said to me, Jesus had no problems in going to the cross and dying because he knew that he was going to rise from the dead. He knew that he was going to be, you know, sitting at God's right hand. I disagree in one way, but agree in the other. I mean, did it make it easy for Jesus to go through everything because he could see the future? If you think so, just go to the Garden of Gethsemane and see Jesus kneeling there before his Father and great drops of blood. He knew what was coming, even beyond the cross. But she was right in another way, because as he was looking forward, what he was looking forward to sustained him through his suffering. All the people in chapter 11 were sustained, were encouraged to persevere because they looked forward to the reward, to the fulfillment of the promise. So if you are finding things hard being a Christian, look to Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the shame of the cross. If you're suffering, then look to Jesus, who endured the cross. If you are discouraged, look to Jesus. He is seated at the right hand of God. It is through him that your faith and my faith is perfected or made complete. But it will only be if you keep looking to Jesus. And notice that what he was looking forward to, notice the word that is used, it's joy. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the Father. The joy of becoming the author of our salvation. The joy of pleasing his Father. The joy of being seated at the right hand of God. It was joy that motivated Jesus to endure the shame of the cross and the prospect of joy that motivated him. Does the prospect of joy, future joy, motivate you and me in our trials, in our difficulties? Does that prospect of joy encourage us to keep running, keep persevering? The future is a future of joy for all who persevere to the end. Faith is not wishful thinking. faith in and of itself is the evidence of things hoped for. Because faith in and of itself is a gift that God has given to us. So in the light of the evidence of millions of people believing in Jesus, but in the light of the evidence of Jesus himself, why is it that atheists and others don't believe? Because unbelief is the greatest cop-out. It's the greatest excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate the evidence about Jesus. They just write it off. To think and evaluate the life and death of Jesus means that faith is already beginning to start growing inside you. Faith does not run away from thinking and evaluating the evidence about Jesus Christ, but embraces it through him. No, but embraces it because through him faith is created and strengthened. So look to Jesus and keep running the race until the finish line. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples placed before us of when men and women who have run the race, but particularly of the Lord Jesus, who in many ways, Lord, forged the way that we are simply walking and running in. We pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will keep our focus upon him, that when we are discouraged, that we will look to him. When we're tired, that we will look to him. When we feel like giving up, we will look to him. When we're feeling picked on and persecuted and just find life difficult in being a Christian, that we will look to him and remember what he went through and how he persevered. And in looking at him, that we may find the strength and the grace to continue to persevere until the end. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.